are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
Menards. Sheboygan's Morning News with Kelly Meyer on 1330 at 101.5 WHBL.
All right, it's 8:39. Nice to have you with us here, a blustery Thursday. Winds are kicking up out there. We do have a wind advisory still in effect through noon. And we could see wind gusts as high as 45 miles an hour. We had a 44-mile-an-hour wind gust here within the last hour, somewhere around Sheboygan County. So it's definitely kicking up out there, as Detective Eric Edson can attest to. He says there's some strange noises coming from our radio station here.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's the wind that's hitting the towers, you think, and it's creating like a...
Yeah, it's really eerie. Like it's just like an eerie sound out there, but...
So if you're hearing that, if you live around the radio station, it's the wind, I guess, is causing that. Anyway, Detective Edson comes in usually a couple times a month and always gets us up to date, keeps us up to date on different scams and fraud that's impacting the immediate Sheboygan County area. Where do you want to start today, sir?
How about another data breach? It seems to be there, no shortage of them. Kroger, and for those that don't know, is the parent company of Pick and Save and Roundy's. They're one of the latest companies to experience a data breach of customer information. They contract with a company called Accelion, and that company provides third-party file transfer services. So just a simple way to transfer large files of data. And it's old software. It was before Dropbox and some of these other kind of platforms that a lot of people are familiar with. And like we were talking off air, a lot of companies just don't spend the money to keep those kinds of software updated or current with what's going on, and they become vulnerable to attack. So some hackers were able to exploit a vulnerability in that system and get a hold of some customer and human resources information for actually employees of Kroger. So they say that no credit card or debit card information was stolen. However, it affected their money services businesses, so like money orders, bill pay, things like that. And the big thing is pharmacy records. So if you have prescriptions or anything like that at a Pick and Save or Kroger branded store, that information may have been affected by this data breach. They're estimating about 2% of their customer base was affected, but like we were talking about, it's early on in this data breach and they really don't know. So that number could get bigger.
Yeah.
And this is something that we've talked about before, a supply chain attack. So a lot of companies will contract with third-party vendors to provide different types of services to them, to provide access to their data, to house their data, whatever it is. And they're vulnerable to these cyber attacks. So as a consumer, you're like, well, what can I do about this? This is really the company's responsibility. What can I do? And my biggest thing that I advocate is put a credit freeze on your accounts. Because if the scammers can't use your data to open up new lines of credit, take out credit cards, do medical fraud, anything like that, that's really the best kind of policy. It's inconvenient, no doubt, especially if you're a person who wants to apply for, you go to a store and they're offering a 0% deal if you sign up for their card.
Sure.
But it's a big part of prevention for, I think, a small inconvenience. So we've talked a little bit about credit freezes before. I think some people get confused that it might affect like their current credit cards or a loan that they have, and it doesn't. It's anything. It just prevents new credit from being taken out in your name. Very easy to thaw your credit. So if you do freeze it and decide in a couple months you want to apply for a loan or take out a credit card, you can easily go on your computer or call the credit bureaus and thaw it temporarily to facilitate that credit application and then refreeze it after that. So if you have questions about credit freezes, we have information on our website under the fraud prevention page on exactly step-by-step how to do that, the numbers to call, the websites to go to. And so I would encourage people, if you're at all concerned about your information floating out there, which really all of ours is, make sure that you consider at least doing a credit freeze on your information.
All right. Now that's at the Sheboygan Police Department website you're talking about?
Sheboyganpolice.com, and just find the fraud prevention page, and there's a link there on credit freezes, and it'll take you to a third-party website that really explains it very well.
Good. It's worth checking out, I think.
Definitely. And it's free. It doesn't, especially with COVID and things like that, there was a lot of scams with that, and the government has allowed you to check your credit periodically for free now. I think it's at least twice a week now you can check your credit. And the credit freezes are free. They used to cost money if you weren't a victim of any kind of fraud. Now they don't cost any money. They're free. So take advantage of that. It's really a really good prevention method that doesn't cost anything and just maybe adds a little inconvenience occasionally in your life, but I think worth the prevention measure.
Yeah. Now, what's the best site to go to check your credit reports? Yeah, I know you've mentioned that before, and it escapes me.
There's only one. It's annualcreditreport.com.
Okay.
There's several out there that offer you to pay, like freecreditreport.com. There's a bunch of variations of it, and they charge money. They're businesses, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But if you want to get a free report from each one, you're entitled to free ones from each one of the bureaus. Annualcreditreport.com is the only, in my opinion, legitimate site to go to.
Okay, good information there. What about taxes? It's tax time.
Everyone's favorite time of year, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
People are, if you haven't already filed your taxes, people are thinking about doing that here pretty soon. So just a reminder to people that tax season is one of the highest times during the year of fraud. That people, a variety of different ways, whether it's the cyber type or identity theft fraud, or even fraud by people that are purporting to be legitimate tax preparers and really aren't. So be careful about who you're having prepare your taxes if you don't do them yourselves. Remember that you're responsible for all the information on your tax return. Even if someone else does it for you and a preparer signs it, you're ultimately responsible for what's on that form. So make sure you're checking the tax preparer's qualifications. Make sure you're reviewing your return before the tax preparer signs it and sends it in for you to make sure that it's accurate. And never sign a blank return. Sometimes that's like a sure sign of that something sketchy is going on, that if a tax preparer would ask you to sign a return that is not completed yet. So just make sure you're doing your due diligence when you're having someone prepare your taxes. There's a lot of very reputable tax preparers out there. We're all aware of the big names of the companies that do that, and there's CPAs and other tax attorneys out there that do that. But just be careful that you're not taking advantage of some great deal to have someone do your taxes online or something. It turned out to be a scam.
All right, good advice. There's a couple others here, phishing scams, right?
Yeah, that's really the highest volume of fraud that we get during tax season is phishing scams.
Yeah.
So one variation is geared towards your employer. So you'll get an email possibly from purporting to be from the CEO of your company or someone high up in the organization saying, we need a copy of your W-2-4 and then whatever the reason is. And they'll try to get you to scan in or copy your W-2 form. And the information that's on your W-2 is enough for someone to file taxes in your name and fraudulently and take advantage of that and commit identity theft. So obviously, it should be common sense. Never send any documents like that have personal information on it without verifying the legitimacy of the request. That one's pretty straightforward. But the one that we see, the most common one, is you'll get an email, possibly a text message. Typically, it's marked urgent, or the context of it makes you feel like there's a sense of urgency, and it's purporting to be from the IRS. And typically, there's instructions to either click on a link or fill out a form online, send in some information. Some of the tactics that they use are that they need to update your online profile, that you qualify for a refund that you weren't aware of. Maybe your credit card was fraudulently used to pay taxes, or the big one is you're due a large sum of money for whatever reason. Things to look for are generic greetings instead of your name, poor grammar or typographical errors, and then conflicting web addresses. If you see a web address to click on, you hover your mouse over it, or you just look at the URL and you realize that it's not really quite what it's supposed to be, that should be a tip-off. So really the safest thing to do, we've talked about this over and over again, but never, ever, ever, not ever click on a link, download a file, or reply to these emails. They're always going to be scams. Remember that the IRS will never try to contact you via email, text messages, or social media. It'll always be U.S. mail that they'll send you a letter if they have an issue with your return.
Yeah, and once you click on one of those links, it's too late. Right? The damage is done as soon as you click on it.
Even if you don't enter information, if it's something where you click on a link and it's installing some kind of malware on your computer, that could be the scam. If you go and you enter information, that's just, twice as good for the scammer. But really, if you click on that link, you don't know what kind of program that might start to run on your computer. If it's an executable file, they can disguise it so it looks like just an innocent web address or something like that. So it's very, very dangerous for people to click on links in any unsolicited email. You can always verify with that company that, hey, did you send me something? Should I be clicking on this link, or go directly to their website and facilitate the business that way?
Good advice. Good stuff as always from Detective Eric Edson. Anything else you have for us this morning?
I don't think so. It's next month, April, is Money Smart Week. I know that they're planning on doing some things virtually online, some online types of seminars, and we always try to do some fraud prevention with them. And we're going to be putting some stuff on our website and Facebook page, kind of dealing with some of that stuff. I think that's really it for now.
Okay.
The spring will be pretty busy, but there's a lot of information coming out, and you gave me some homework to look into a possible data breach, so yeah. Hopefully next or a couple weeks we'll come back with that information.
All right. Sounds good. Detective Edson, thanks for coming in, as always.
Thanks, Kelly.
Appreciate it. All right. Business news coming up next here at WHBL.
If you think you're experiencing hearing loss, shopping online or off the shelf isn't the answer. You could just have earwax, or your hearing loss can be a sign of other